When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to Fit and Proper. I'm Rhys James.
And I'm Lloyd Griffith.
Each week we delve into the murky world of football club ownership. We're giving control to our famous guests to run their beloved club in their own way.
They can do whatever they like, from changing the manager to moving the stadium closer to their house, sacking the mascot to insisting all their players have blue dreadlocks.
But their decisions will be scrutinised heavily, just like a real owner. Firstly, by Lloyd and I, and then our supercomputer, which will analyse the data and decide if they are a fit and proper person to run a football club.
Lloyd, good to see you. You good?
Yeah, good to see you too. Very weird.
We're very surprised, but I'm good that I say it's good to see you.
No, but just, yeah, very formal.
Yeah, you know, why not?
Why has your voice come deep?
Bring a bit of class to the podcast every now and again.
Is your voice broken?
At last,
it's broken. Left your parents
home? I feel quite
echoey
right now. I feel like I'm in a sort of, got a bit of authority in the way I'm speaking. Like there's a bit of echo in my voice. If there isn't, Harry, put an echo effect on my voice.
Are you on drugs?
Oh, just a bit of magnesium. Pure magnesium. Muscle function. Tiredness. Solved.
Do you take magnesium?
When I remember to, yeah. There's magnesium in the house
well,
to be
taken.
Well,
you need to take something to remember.
Yeah, I need memory pills as well. It doesn't do memory.
Do you know what I take every
vitamin
day?
Vitamin D, vitamin C, magnesium. When I remember, which is once a week.
Every day, without fail, I take vitamin
Viagra.
D. Not every day.
Some call it vitamin D.
That's good. Write that down.
Don't need to.
Why?
Because I listen back.
Well, you don't remember things, do you?
Oh, God.
I take vitamin D, not Viagra. I take B12.
Because you want a B12.
I want.
Come on. You think I don't have vitamin gags? I've got vitamin gags for days. Give me another one. See what I can do.
Cod liver oil.
Who's our guest? Robbie Knox.
Iron.
Yeah, got it. Understood. Robbie Knox.
Robbie Knox
is the
guest
today.
Friend of mine. I've known Robbie a number of years, and I knew Robbie from when he was on Soccer AM back in the day.
And Twitch streamer
now, big YouTuber as well. Like
YouTube
really good
man,
really good kind of like dad YouTubey stuff. And I hope he doesn't mind me saying that. Like he puts his bins out, and then he did like a review of his Vauxhall. So it's kind of like the stuff that people aren't doing. He's doing. He's got a brewing company called Bin Day Brewing Company.
Oh, really?
They did a collaboration with Doc's Beers, who are my friends up in the north. That's how it all kind of like kicked off. He's become a bit of a YouTuber and podcaster in the last 5 years. He's on Jackmate's Happy Hour, which is a very, very successful podcast.
Yeah, it's another Spotify exclusive podcast. Unlike this one, obviously Podbean exclusive.
Podbean, Harry's face then was like, I'm going to have to edit that out.
We're getting the big bucks from old Podbean. But yeah. Well, he should be a great guest because he's a bit of a loose cannon, would you say?
He's a very, very much of a loose cannon. He's just some of the stuff he says every now and then, I just lose my tiny little mind at. Also, Jackmate's Happy Hour are going on tour. They're touring from the beginning of February to the mid of February. Mid of February, is that a phrase? So just check out that if you want to go and see him. I think there's only a few tickets left for a few places. I'm talking Shepherd's Bush, I'm talking Cambridge. But then
that's two places that do exist, yes.
But I think they're the ones that have got on extra dates.
Okay.
Also, if you want to come and see me in London or Cambridge or wherever, lloydgriffith.com for touring. We're mid-tour at the moment, roughly.
Yes. Yeah. My tour starts a bit after you, so probably at the start of my tour.
Yeah, so reesejames.org.
Dot biz, actually.
Dot biz.
No, it's .co.uk. But I am looking to switch to a dot biz.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's all business, that website. There's no reason to pretend that, oh, this is just a friendly place for me or the internet. It's not GeoCities anymore, mate. Dot biz, tickets, merch. Stop That's all we've got
stop
there.
Stop hitting the table.
I will not. I'll never stop hitting the table.
So yeah, come and see us both on tour. And then if you want, go and see Happy Hour on tour. They're a good set of lads.
But for now, enjoy this episode of the podcast.
Yeah, okay. Today on the podcast, we have a YouTuber, a podcaster, a legend, a friend. Have I missed anything else out?
Lover.
And
it's certainly one of the more sensual intros that we have.
Yeah, I quite liked it.
Very low key. I mean, we're in quite a dimly lit room. So have you just thought this needs to be erotic for some reason?
Well, no, when I think of this person, I do get erotic.
Yeah.
Actually, Harry, can we have like a bed of like Barry White underneath this or something? Let's see. Thank you. Yeah.
Right, there's a thumbs up. I look forward to the edit where nothing comes on underneath.
I'd be shocked if you could afford the music rights to Barry White.
We're not getting the rights for that, mate.
Please welcome to Fit and Proper, it's Robbie Knox.
Hello, thank you for having me. I'm actually a fan of the pod.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm not just making up.
Finally, a listener. This is what Rob Beckett on, and he goes, "The what? What's this?"
Yeah,
I thought we were just having a laugh.
Honestly, I called him up under the pretense of just catching up. Whereas this, you are a listener of the podcast. You listen to a lot of podcasts, don't you?
No, not that many.
You don't listen to many podcasts, do you?
No. But you know, we say, well, Lloyd, don't you? Yeah. And I'm not going to be on the phone to British Gas either during it.
Just listen to this week's episode, at least the first 7 or 8 minutes of the Rob Beckett episode.
Well, you quoted some Ivo Graham.
Yep.
Yeah. Which is good stuff.
Very on brand for Ivo Graham.
Am I correct in thinking you two had a podcast together for a while throughout the pandemic?
Did we?
Well, that's what I'm asking.
No, we did. I think when lockdown happened, Robbie and I have been friends for years. So Robbie used to be on Soccer AM back in the day.
Didn't we all in this room?
No, but he...
Except you.
It was a producer on Soccer AM.
Yeah.
But then back in the day where they really had like the producers on front of camera.
Ah, when it was good. In the glory days.
Wow.
Before this is interesting.
I love the way that Robbie's just not moving. Doesn't need to say anything. He knows.
Back in when Soccer AM was at its absolute peak, everyone loved it. People weren't tweeting in every day going, who's this absolute prick in goal?
Okay, cool. So Robbie...
Get him out and now they're going, oh, back to glory days. Brilliant.
So Robbie was Statman.
What?
Were you not?
No, don't think so.
Were you not?
No.
Statman?
No, that was me.
Oh, God.
Okay. There's some research. Sorry.
Fucking
research
for this,
isn't it?
Sake.
And I'm a fan. Imagine how they treat the other ones.
Yeah. He listens to the show. No, at least you can do his work.
I was Curling Ginger. I was just Ginger. I was Neil Fixtures was Man.
Fixtures Man. Fuck, sorry. And the Tramp.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is just an abusive term for me, really.
Fixtures Man. Oh, my God. Sorry. That's embarrassing, isn't it?
It's all right.
Harry, can you edit that, but keep the Barry White...
Keep
the Barry White bed underneath
just
all of
bed
it.
With no, just no chat over the top of it. Just play some Barry White for a while. It'll hold music.
Then we became friends through our mutual friend, Martin Gritton, ex-footballer.
Yeah. Journeyman
footballer, lovely lad. Not been mentioned yet in this podcast, like is being brought in any capacity, but yeah. I'm sure it'll happen at some point. And then we decided during lockdown, let's do a podcast.
I think it was sort of therapy for you because you'd kind of just moved into a new place your own.
Yeah, no, okay.
I've got a loving family, so I was fine. But it was more like, Lloyd's asked me to do this, kind of need to do it, or I don't want that on my hands. You know what I mean?
I don't want that
on my conscience.
There's checking in with your mates, and there's checking in with your mates. Every single day to do a podcast that's released.
But it was nice.
That's sort of the masculine way, isn't it, of saying, mate, I'm struggling here. Do you want to have an unbelievably structured way to have a chat every day? Yeah.
It was 5:30 every day, wasn't it?
5:30 every day. You did the hard work.
I did all the work, yeah.
Yeah. I spoke.
What was the work? Did. Editing it,
yeah. And then...
Was there a big edit job on that, or was it just
really.
Mostly pop it out?
I think there was maybe three things that we had to cut out.
Yeah, but I would record my audio, because we were sticklers for audio.
Oh, yeah, we were.
And I would send him my audio, and he'd have to match up with his audio, otherwise it'd be out of tone.
And this is the days before, like, what the software they use on, like, the rest is politics, where it's just all there. This was us literally recording it on tapes, him sending it to me.
This is on tapes. Sorry, how long ago do you think the pandemic was?
We're all about the Spanish influenza.
Oh, right. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah,
enough, we did a podcast.
We did have mini disc as well.
Yeah. So we did a podcast and I really enjoyed it. And then the pandemic kind of eased up and you got bought by Happy Hour.
Huge signing.
I was going to say, how do you feel about the fact, you know, are you angry at me? Because clearly I'm Lloyd's co-host. Replaced you, but actually no, you had gone on to...
We've just gone to different things.
To pastures greener. You'd gone on to like a big, much, much bigger podcast.
Wouldn't say greener, just a different shade of green.
Just
a better shade of green.
Just a more successful green.
Just a more successful shade of green. Yeah.
Green with more listeners.
Just a more successful green, exclusive to Spotify.
Yeah.
You are a big football fan though, obviously.
I enjoy it, yes. I grew up in Kent in the 1980s, so support Liverpool.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
My friends supported Liverpool. I didn't really know any other teams, so I started supporting them. And that was great. It was great at the time. First season, won the double. I'm like, yeah, this is brilliant. Then I found out where Liverpool was. I was like, oh, that's not that convenient. Like, I mean, I still like it. It's good.
From the Isle of Sheppey.
Yeah, a bit of a commute. Quite hard to get your mum to take you. Really.
Did you manage to go to any games?
Occasionally. So I went to the Kop when it was still standing before it went away. My first game was Liverpool Norwich, and now I live in Norwich, so that's a fun fact.
Lovely, I know.
Of sorts.
Any memories of the result score of that game?
Genuinely can't remember. No.
No.
Literally can't remember anything.
So you were with your mum drove you up to Liverpool?
Yeah. Would have driven up and gone to the game with my brother, Yeah. So I had to go. My brother's a Sheffield Wednesday fan because he collected more stickers of Sheffield Wednesday in the Football 85 sticker book than any other club.
Nice.
But he was a bit more forceful about going to games. So we tend to go to Sheffield Wednesday a bit more.
That's because he's got to get his swaps in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
He's got to find someone
he's got a need. Blackburn badge. He's got a swap.
Yeah.
I got to the occasional game, but it was pretty rare. And then when I got to teenage years, I wanted to go to football. I'd been to a couple of Maidstone games, but then they died. So I couldn't start going to Gillingham because that's rivalry sort of thing. But there was Sittingbourne. Well, I grew up in the Isle of Sheppey in Kent, and there was a Sheppey United team. It wasn't very exciting. I went down a couple of times. But Sittingbourne was this club, a really exciting time in around 1990 in the terms of non-league or 1991, because they had a ground in the centre of Sittingbourne. Called the Ball Ground.
Behind the pub, the Bull.
It might be.
Yeah.
Great knowledge. The Ball Ground. At the time. The Bull, B-U-L-L.
Bull.
We used to park in the car park next to it. Sometimes you could see football going on. I was like, oh, that looks interesting. But then they sold that to Sainsbury's for £4 million and had a madman's dream to create a football team that will go from non-league all the way up to the Premier League.
Great. I like that a lot. That's, you know, there's a book in it, yeah. I think. But also the idea of football team. I mean, imagine hearing, yeah, Arsenal are top of the league, but they've sold their car park to Sainsbury's. Yeah. Hang on, we've just had a last minute bid from Tesco for the car park. Yeah. I mean, that is the transfer deadline.
How much have Tesco offered for the car park?
4.5.
Well, every little helps.
Good. Yeah. Very good.
Can you, Harry, can you put like a clapping after that? Is that all right?
Put Barry White clapping
after Barry
that.
Barry White clapping, if that's all right. That'd be great. Oh, breaking news. Robbie, wow. You've bought Sittingbourne FC.
Yep. I mean, I probably should have mentioned it, but we're talking about them for the last 20 minutes. But yeah, I have.
First of all, I mean, I think we should play a game of how much did it cost?
Oh, yeah. How much did it cost?
We don't normally guess, but given we guessed the ticket price, but let's have a little guess.
So they sold their grounds for 4.5. So but now they're at, I'd
well,
say...
Well, there's no car park. We've got to take that into account. Yeah. The car park's been sold.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say £180,000.
I reckon it would cost you more like 400k.
Ooh, that's interesting.
I've overpaid. I went 100 million.
100 million?
Oh, mate. They've seen you coming a mile off.
After the mark.
I think you've bought the whole of Sittingbourne and the surrounding area.
I've not even got any paperwork. I've not got a receipt.
How have you bought this?
Those pesky solicitors in that stadium, man.
Yeah.
So you
bought
Sittingbourne FC.
How did you get 100 million?
So I was looking for how to get some money and... I thought, oh, he's got loads of money. And I know Andrew Tate's in the news all the time. He's
top G.
Top G. He's popular and not weird. and he human trafficking. Not that alleged. But mine's not like the sex human trafficking.
Right.
I've human trafficked people to work in the NHS and help the country.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. And they can choose not to be trafficked as well. It's an employment agency.
You work in recruitment.
You work for Office Angels.
I've got a job for Office Angels. They pay you surprisingly well.
It's quite a good sociological point that. It's like, what really is recruitment? Is it just a version of human trafficking? That's what we've landed on this football comedy podcast.
Welcome to The Rest Is Politics.
This is very hybrid. You got mentioned The Rest Is Politics the other day.
Do we?
An ad.
Reese did the ad.
We didn't get mentioned.
I'm such a completer. So I listened to other pods I've heard you might have an ad in.
You're an ultra. You're a fit and proper ultra, as Stan. Yeah. So you paid 100 million quid from your job at Office Angels, where you bring in NHS workers from around the globe.
You say around the globe, it's quite hard with Brexit, so mostly from Sydney-Bourne area.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Just right, from Sydney-Bourne area. That's
very local branch of Office Angels.
Sorry, the salary for that is 100 million.
Well, more, because I've got other money to spend as well.
Sure.
So that was like 100 million a week.
Are you going to be recruiting any of your staff for the club or any of your players through Office Angels?
I might get them to do the paperwork, because that seems a faff. But Sydney-Bourne, when I used to go, it really was, I don't know who the chairman was, but it was a madman's dream. They just basically spunked £4 million in a matter of, in a very short space of time. And they would get in like ex-players, like to and pay them like decent money to play in the like Southern League.
Right.
So they had 3-time European Cup winner Jimmy Case was playing for Sydney-Bourne, and he would sort of get like away games. He'd be like getting the away games afterwards. He'd just be in the bar, you know, Jimmy Case. I was not old enough to really see Jimmy Case play for Liverpool, but I knew
he was well beyond.
And the older people were really excited on this. It was a few sort of things. They're like Kevin Bond, who was like Norwich and Man City and Southampton and stuff like that. And Steve Lovell, who was like played for Wales and a few others. They were getting in loads of like ex-pros for a few games. And
so they really wanted to like try and make it a Premier League team by bringing these players in, having this new stadium that was going to be a Premier League stadium.
Yeah. The turnstiles were a way they'd left room to build. So they'd built some stands, and there were bits where they'd built almost like the foundations of the other stands, so they could expand this thing into like some massive stadium for this.
So they were expecting it to just grow and grow and grow.
They were like, yeah, this is
and
it.
We will just climb the... You know,
and it started off all right. Like the first year, there's something like when they got promoted, they were the only team in Europe not to lose a game that season in any league in Europe. Apparently, well, according to the internet. So it did start off quite well. They got that promotion again, got up to the Beezer Homes Premier Division sort of thing.
Where are they now when you've taken them over? What league are they in? For the listener, I know, obviously, but for the listener's sake.
I don't know how you say it.
I always say
it used to exist.
Moved
around
East Division.
So was there a reform in 2006, I think, where like all the leagues kind of changed?
Yeah,
so
they're shuffling around.
You're in the Isthmian League, South Division, South East Division. Sorry, I'm currently 10th out of 20. You've given the ex-chairman Maurice Dunk £100 million. He must be over the moon.
Yeah.
He in turn bought it from Andy Spice. These names seem made up.
It has got a bit of a made up club about it. I've made these websites.
Yeah.
And there is no city knowing you won't go down to Central Park and check.
These are all made up names, like they're from some sort of ITV drama. Mm. Oh, Andy Spice is on the phone. He's been
Andy
to Maurice Dunk.
Sounds like someone from a Bob Mortimer anecdote, on what I lie to you, I will admit.
Yeah.
Andy Spice looks like the kind of name that you could buy off Bob Mortimer on Instagram for £20.
Yeah. So what names are not using?
Names are not using. So how are you going to get into the Premier League within 10, let's just say 10 years? What are you doing as owner?
I want to follow the dream of the former chairman, who I don't know his name, of that era. I think the problem was he didn't go in big enough.
Yeah.
Like I get a fair wage from Office Angels. I am just going to spunk money wherever I can, sort of thing. We're going to go back. Where do you want to start? Do you want to start players? Do you want to start ground?
You show us through the plan.
I guess the foundation of the whole thing is the ground, isn't it? Because then that's how you get in the ticket price, and then you can do everything from there.
Can I also just say, Robbie is the first person that's turned up to do this podcast with a laptop and notes.
Yeah.
I'm taking this seriously.
That's what happens if you make 100 million a year.
Yeah. Do you reckon they just let anyone into Office Angels? No, mate. You've got to have a laptop. You've got to bring your own because I don't have any.
Yeah. You've got to be willing to steal a laptop.
Are you on LinkedIn?
Yeah, hit me up.
Okay. Yeah. Talk us through. What are you doing then?
Okay, first step. Let's do ground. Let's
okay, see ground. What... So the central part of the old ground, I went to see it at 10 years. I was in Sitting Bull. I thought, do you know what? I'll pop in and have a look. And it is a sorry site. Yeah. Really. They sold it to... I had to sell it to the council, and then there was dog racing for a while after the football team left.
Yeah,
and now it's in ruins. Like, it's amazing how quickly something that was brand new in like 1990 is now like you can just see the turnstiles through overgrown grass and stuff like that. It's like a post zombie apocalyptic football grounds or thing. It's good. So I want to rebuild it there.
Oh, lovely. Back to Central Park.
Back to Central Park.
Calling it Central Park.
We go straight in with the big stadium. I think their problem was they did it in stages. 250,000 capacity. Biggest stadium in the world.
Right.
We're gonna go full in. We're gonna get, but it's gonna look money as well. Like I'm gonna get the guy who does the interior decorating for Saudi princes' houses to do the whole thing.
Really? Just say, okay, yeah.
Inside and out.
Inside and out. Like I would say, mate, whatever you've done before, think more gaudy, more money.
Yeah,
every house you've done before looks poor to me.
Yeah.
I want the goalposts made of marble. Do you know what I mean? Gold escalators.
Lovely.
All that stuff. The dugouts will be carved out of diamonds. Like massive diamonds.
Lovely. Well, what I was going to say, when you were talking about the ruins of the Central Park Stadium as it is, I was thinking, it is interesting, isn't it, how if you see a ruins of like a football stadium that has existed in our lifetime, it looks so crap. Whereas like, you know, there's the Colosseum. There is a ruin that looks brilliant. And that's from ages ago. And you go, how is it that was obviously better than all of this shit? But if you build the goals out of marble, and the dugouts out of diamonds, then when this is eventually ruins, because the business plan, I've got to say, it's not all there just yet.
No, no.
When this eventually is ruined, it's going to look fucking amazing. It'll look amazing
It'll
be a landmark, and you'll be making money on the landmark anyway. Even when it dies, it's still
National Trust.
You've made me wonder whether we should build it next door to the old ground and keep that as some kind of museum,
like an archaeological site.
Preston North End have a museum in the stadium, so I think you can kind of almost like replicate that. So have like a museum of football there.
Mm. I've always wanted to go to Preston bus station, so I might make a day trip of it now.
Why?
You're a very ambitious guy, aren't you?
I always wanted to go to Preston bus station.
Okay, so
if you want to spend time googling, go for it. But it looks great.
Preston bus station.
I'm telling you, you've never seen a better bus station than this.
Right.
Do you know what?
That looks fantastic.
That is a sick bus station.
Right, get googling if you're listening to this.
If you're listening to this, have a look at Preston bus station.
Think of your favourite bus station and double it.
Imagine it's from the future.
If you show me
it's
a photo
very
of this,
futuristic looking.
Without any, even producer Aaron's having a look now on his phone, I'd have said that's in Malmo.
I think he's just going on LinkedIn for a new job. We're looking at bus station out.
Harry, why are you on the Office Angels website? I would say that looks like... Do you know like... I know this is not... Halifax Piazza. Have you been there?
No.
Unbelievable.
Never been to Halifax.
I think it looks a little bit like... It's very obviously very straight. It doesn't look a million miles away from the Allianz Arena. Are you going to design your stadium in Preston bus station's image?
People do call it the Allianz Arena of buses.
Of course they do.
I'm going purely for sort of gaudy sort of gold. Jewels.
Even from the outside. So if you're doing outside, like drone view, the helicopter camera.
Lights, loads of lights, too many lights, if anything.
Chandeliers?
Yeah, a lot of chandeliers, but a lot of we just bought a lot of bulbs. Like, so many bulbs. You know how in the same as Qatar, they use a lot of migrant workers there. We've got that number of electricians of diode lights.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like a mad amount of lights. Within a mile of the ground, you get given out sunglasses because otherwise you'll go blind walking up to it.
How do the players deal with this?
They go in an underground tunnel.
But
how do they play?
The lights on the outside.
I see.
That'd be stupid otherwise.
I feel like an idiot.
But you didn't buy any floodlights, I imagine.
We've got like normal floodlights.
Right, just normal.
We've got to take it seriously. Maybe gold. We're not half-assing this. Catering, we're going to get Salt Bay to do it.
He was
at the World Cup final.
He's friends with some of the greatest players in the world, famously.
Yep. Yeah.
Does he have to do every meal individually? Do the salt off the
He does
elbow,
all that
individually.
Stuff and all that. Yeah. So it's still like normal food. So like he'll get you a Bovril, but it also
does it
do that little thing, but with like gold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gold flakes.
Yeah, gold hot dogs and stuff like that. So like Bovril's be normal price, but the hot dogs will be like $7,000.
$7,000 hot dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah. And do you think the people in the area will be able to afford that?
Not really my problem, Lloyd.
it kind of is your problem. Yeah, because you are relying on revenue. Right, like, yeah. You do need, as you say, we have to find out whether you're fit and proper.
But think
to
about the markup. You just sell one. You know, Bovril's very cheap to make.
They can, well, the Bovril's normal price. Maybe they can just eat at home if they're not, if they can't afford it. Eat at home. Cheap, still £3 to get in. But
£3 to get in.
Yep.
So there are, but there are. If you think about it, there's 250,000 seats. So if each person's paying 250,000,
go on. How much?
That is
loads.
It's more than 250,000 times three. Yeah, it's £750,000.
Very good. That's not that much. I mean, it's not that much when you consider.
No.
Yeah, but sell, say like one in. As a conservative, gets one in five buy a £7,000 hot dog.
One in
five.
That's my calculations. We'll see. We might have to revise it. I'm pretty confident I'm right, though.
I can't wait to see sitting board on footy scran.
Salt bait in the background.
Yeah. Gold hot dog, £7,000. Thoughts?
Yeah. All right.
Robbie in the comments. Guys, it was only £3 to get in, remember?
Yeah. People be very judgy. Very judgy on that.
That's brilliant.
So, yeah, that's my basic plan. Of the stadium, and I think it's well thought out and well
how costed. Many people are you envisaging coming in the early season before you kind of get to the championship in the Premier League?
280,000 and 30,000 get turned away. But as we go further on, we're going to be turning away more and more people each week.
Want to be more active this summer? Sierra helps you save on everything from swimsuits to stand-up paddle boards, tennis rackets to fishing tackle. And if that doesn't float your boat, we also have pool floats. Sierra, let's get moving. To your local store, like now. Go!
Surely, therefore, you're going to have some flash players.
I liked the previous style of getting players in their twilight years.
Yes.
And bringing them in. So, three signings off the bat, dropping £50,000 a week on Rory Delap.
Makes perfect sense.
Makes perfect sense.
Throw-ins not utilised enough these days.
It'll be good. People like his throws.
I think he goes and watches his son, Liam. He spends a lot of his time at Man City watching Liam Delap.
Probably should have got Liam Delap, actually, in hindsight.
Get both.
Just get both.
Maybe you should get just relatives.
That's what you should do. That could be our thing. That's okay.
Father and sons. Yeah. George Weah and his son.
Yeah. Other expat. That was £50,000 a week. £100,000 a week. David Bentley. Remember him?
Oh, yeah.
He's only 38 now.
He's got a...
Nightclub, has he got?
What?
Is he running a nightclub?
If you were to ask, I mean, that seems very on brand for David Bentley.
I thought he did move to Ibiza or something and open a nightclub.
I think there's something like that. You know, I think you're right. I think he did.
So you're prizing him away from that, from his actual dream.
Of course, he can commute. You have to train.
Scored from the halfway line against Arsenal, mate. Of course, I remember
David
Bentley.
Yeah.
He came on Soccer M. He was very good at free kicks. Still is.
He came on a Christmas party once, and he did a wee in the central London next to a cash machine.
Wow.
That's enough for me to smash £100,000
a week, please.
Is that an exclusive?
It doesn't seem like I would have bothered to mention anywhere else. So. it doesn't come up that often. Yeah, that's my first two. Same, the other one, though, really exciting, though. Guy in the pub who sold me the club.
Yeah.
Also, gone for the biggest possible player. Just recently signed Pelé as well, which is...
Right.
What? Interesting.
What? I don't read the papers, what?
You're not going to like this. How much did you spend on Pelé to start with?
Oh, mate, right. So I've given him £6 million to pay the second half of an FA Vars match.
And we start the show this evening with a very somber tone because news is reaching us here on Sky Sports News this evening that the Brazilian great Pelé, the three-time World Cup winner, has died.
Oh, mate.
Robbie, sorry you got to find out.
And actually, that wasn't breaking news. That's from several weeks ago.
Yeah, big funeral and everything.
But breaking news for you, of course. Has the transaction gone through?
Yeah,
I
paid cash again.
Cash?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. The guy did have... I was surprised he was Pelé's agent anyway, because he was just... He did look... He had, like... plaster on his jumper and that, and I think he sounded like local.
You sure that was plaster?
Yeah.
Did you get a receipt?
No, I don't know.
£6 million, nothing to you.
Yeah, I don't believe everything you read in the papers, so let's just see if he turns up.
Let's wait and see if he turns up.
Hey, look, your cup is half full.
Yeah, thank you very much. So these are three signings.
Stadium will be half empty.
Manager-wise, I figure you don't... You've got that sort of talent. One of the best players ever, Pelé, for example. You don't need a coach. You need a manager, someone who can motivate people that. So I've gone for American comedian Pete Davidson. Because he always has... He's not the greatest looking of men, but he always has very attractive girlfriends.
Yes, he does seem to go out with the entire supermodel.
If he can motivate them to go out with him, he's going to be able to motivate Rory Delap to lose a ball onto Pelé's head on the penalty spot, isn't he?
Yeah. Easy. You'd think so, yeah, unless his powers only work on women. That's the only issue. We've not yet seen whether that sort of influence applies to journeymen footballers.
But you're taking a risk, and I appreciate that. Do you know what I mean?
The rest of the plan is so thought out. I think one risk is fine.
I also think he's a sort of glamour. He is the sort of current glamour manager that you could have.
Yeah.
Getting high on the touchline, not really caring about
sniffing salts.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe. It does seem like it goes with the rest of the branding.
How about I pair him up with, as an assistant manager, Neil Warnock? The two of them, I think, are getting well.
Yeah.
Maybe a joint thing. Maybe like a sort of director of football manager sort of thing.
I think that works.
I often wonder, who Neil Warnock hangs out with. And I think it is Pete Davidson.
Probably will be Pete Davidson,
I think they've got quite a similar ethos.
At this stage, it wouldn't surprise me.
He came on Happy Hour, Neil Warnock.
Neil Warnock came on Happy Hour.
Came on Happy Hour, and we asked him about his bum bag of photos, from that little clip where he's giving out photos.
Yeah.
And he had some with us. He gave me one of his photos.
That is great. Yeah. Pete Davidson does quite a similar thing.
Was that, sorry? Two questions at once. Which one?
We've both asked the question. You've got to answer.
I didn't hear either of them, so I'm going to say 442.
Yeah. So... just traditional 4-4-2.
As traditional as you can with the course of Pelé up the front.
Yeah.
I'm a little realist into that breaking news strap.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll see.
Okay.
No, fair enough. It's your club.
Fine. You're going to do back-to-back seasons, so you're going to get promoted every season. Yep. Is there a sort of infrastructure plan in place for who you're signing once you go up the leagues, or are you expecting these players to be relevant and good enough in every division?
I think all three of them have got at least 10 years left in them at the very top level.
Yeah.
Beyond that, no. I mean, you've really got to look. I don't want to sign anyone under 38, really.
No.
You win nothing with kids or normal age footballers. Only I'm going to follow the original Sydney Bourne policy of just so the players of the young stars of today will eventually become the old men at Sydney Bourne of tomorrow.
Who will be in the Premier League?
Yes.
I like that.
Thank you.
You've got a very flash club in various different aspects.
Yep.
We've talked about the nickname, the Brickies. I presume, obviously, that's going. Is there a nickname for...
Modifying Gold Brickies.
Gold Brickies.
Yeah, I'm like Gold Bullion, sort of like whenever...
Oh, Gold
like
Brickies.
That, that sort of
I like
imagery.
That. That's really... And actually, Sitting Bourne's crest is currently like a coat of arms. Two
it
shells,
gold,
a crown,
though.
And it is gold. Yeah, two, I'd like to say, griffins.
They're gone. I like the idea of griffins.
Yeah.
But I want something that sort of shows, you can achieve the impossible if you just have enough money. So I want something with that sort of dreamy nature to it. So it's going to be a unicorn vomiting cash.
Lovely. That's nice.
Classy, isn't it?
It's like fantasy yet money.
Yeah.
How do you feel
the rainbow in the background?
How's that going to go down with the anti-sports washing crowd, do you think?
How do you mean?
Just to be out and out, balls out, a unicorn vomiting cash is just about as on the nose.
We're not sports watching anything bad here. We're just spunking money.
You got the money from human trafficking, but you're not sports. But it is just recruitment.
Office angels. Yeah.
Good shoot, like the good, the acceptable face of it.
Like some human traffickers, I think, take it too far. I don't want to get cancelled for that. I just think they do.
No,
call me woke, but yeah.
You are woke.
I am woke.
You
knew I was woke when I said human trafficking.
Are you changing the name of the stadium from the Jarman Solicitor Stadium?
Well, yeah, if we go back to the old ground, I think Central Park.
Go with Central Park.
But that's quite nice. You're flash, but it's classic.
Yeah, thank you.
We go to Central Park this weekend? Lovely. You've got 250,000 people in the stadium each week.
Yep.
You currently don't have a mascot at Sitting Bourne, I don't think.
Nope.
I guess you'll need that kind of level of entertainment. You'll need a mascot. What are your plans?
I think basically just using the unicorn, like getting two guys in a suit to go around, because like why have one guy in a mascot suit when you have two? They can go around like a pantomime horse, but also still vomiting money for the kids and stuff like that who come to watch.
Real money,
but also real vomit. So you can send your kid to the front to try and get some money from the unicorn, but he is going to come back covered in puke and you've got to sit through it.
I've got
300 quid, Dad, and also I stink of sick. I've got to go in the back seat. Yes.
Yeah. Really lovely. What's the strip look like for Sittingbourne FC?
Right now, it's red and black stripes.
Yeah, it is. So we're going to stick with a red kit. Obviously, though, we want to show it's expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be dyeing the kit using panda blood.
Okay.
Interesting. Okay. Mm. I'm just thinking about the supercomputer. I think, you know, you pulled it back with the human trafficking being the good kind, ending up just being recruitment.
I'm just going to double check it. Real panda blood?
Yep.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah, right. Just wondering how we get panda blood back to so that you can be a fit and proper manager. I mean, this is one of the ones, so this is probably the least suspense for the result.
Well, what are your problems with the panda blood plan?
Well, I think, and I don't think I'm going out on a limb here, and I hope you don't think I'm woke saying this, but I think pandas are endangered.
Yep.
I don't think that even matters. For the morality of using panda blood, I think the endangered thing, yeah, sure, but I think it's an aside.
So what's your problem?
Because if you said you were using horse blood, it would still be an issue. And they're not endangered.
Are they? Oh, no.
Why?
I just think if you're using, because I assume then the panda's dead.
What? No. What? Sorry, what?
Right, so
you are sick. You're a sick man. No, of course not.
So like a blood transfusion,
yes,
like a donor.
Yes, like when you go, if you go and have an operation, you go, well, I'm glad I got my blood transfusion. It's a shame they had to kill someone to get it. No, of course not. God, disgusting. Lloyd.
How many blood transfusions are pandas up to?
I mean, they'll be well paid. We're not sure cash here. We are not sure cash. They can have all the bamboo they like.
Yeah. So we get digestive, they get bamboo.
Yeah.
Do you think you'll get enough, you know, from just waiting for transfusions and nosebleeds from pandas to really dye all the kits?
Or is it just the first team kit?
Nope, all the replica ones as well.
Right.
Replica ones are £35,000. So it's probably, I don't think we'll need them, any pandas really.
Mm. Right. So you've got a clinic where you do blood transfusions and blood donations from pandas that then contributes to the...
Yeah, we outsource that. That'd be silly. Yeah.
And what are we talking for? You got any sponsors on this kit?
Just a local scaffolding company.
Right.
Like... just anyone, really, any local scaffolding company, just fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I don't think we need to go too far.
No. Okay. And who's the, what kind of brand is it? Do you have a sports brand who make the kits, or is it all in-house? No logo on there?
Gucci.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Gucci Panda Blood.
Gucci Planet Bombs.
Just Terry scaffolding.
Yeah, exactly.
what was really interesting, we were, like, you could see the supercomputer, like it was really bubbling up there. But when you saw about the transfusion, I've never seen it.
God,
but,
I could. Do you know what? Now I can see what you thought. Now,
now it sounds mad, doesn't it?
Now you say when? Yeah, that would have. If yeah, no, obviously that
just
that
lost
would
in translation. I think.
Yeah, just an innocent mistake.
Yeah, fair enough. Any rules you're imposing for the players?
We want to show this sort of money. We want to be quite obvious that we're a successful club and all that. So we're going to go to every game by private jet.
Right.
Which is good.
Yeah.
Sorry, Greta, but it's going to be good for us.
I think Greta might have concerns about some of the other stuff as well. But,
most of them are in Kent, so it's going to be quite inconvenient. So a lot of the time we're going to have to drive past the ground we're going to get to the airport, to fly to another airport, to then go back in our...
Yeah, of course, so it's Southeast League, isn't it?
Just looking at the Southeast Division, you're playing Ashford, Beckenham, Burgess Hill Town, Chatham, Chichester, that is definitely a flight, Corinthians, they're down the road, Cray Valley, Paper Mills.
When you've got places like Three Bridges there, that is famously well connected, outside of air travel.
Yeah.
But you're still going to go to...
Well, Three Bridges has got Gatwick.
You're going to go on the train past Gatwick and then fly to Three Bridges.
To a gold Hummer limo will take us to... what's the nearest airport? What's that one near?
Biggin Hill.
Biggin Hill, that's what I'm thinking of. Thank you, Lloyd. We'll go to Biggin Hill. And then from there, we'll fly to Gatwick. And while we're flying to Gatwick, the Hummer will just drive to meet us at the other end and pick us up to take us to the ground.
Yeah.
Are you planning to be a net zero club? Because there's going to be a lot of stuff you're going to have to do to get it back.
Did I mention the forest out the back?
You've got a forest?
We're rewilding most of Kent in order to counteract the
Garden of England?
The environment stuff. Yeah. I mean, that's going to be the Forest of England.
So you're going to essentially create like an Amazon in Kent to justify you flying to three bridges.
Yeah. Which is honestly is going to make it harder to drive anyway because there'd be trees everywhere. So we'd have to fly. Yeah.
Fair play. Okay. Absolutely. I like that. Any other rules for the players at all? Or just sticking with the private jets?
I think that kind of covers everything, really. Yeah. I mean,
that's all you need.
Yeah, I mean, just the club motto, it's going to be, what would Puff Daddy do? And I think if you've ever got a situation and you think, what should I do? Going, what would Puff Daddy do? Because I reckon he'd
fly.
Make choices.
He'd fly to Ashford.
I interviewed Craig David once and he said that he went out to a club with Puff Daddy once and he was talking about how, like, he was at a table and there are lots of really rich people and he was sort of there. And he said, and they're all getting increasingly flashy. In this VIP bit in his club, like above, and it's sort of set up above the dance floor. And Puff Daddy was sat there with his back to the dance floor. And he said it was people increasingly doing more and more outrageous things, like buying, someone would buy like some big tray of fruit and then someone would get another one with like more fruit and sparklers and loads of like vodka and all this champagne and all this thing. And people kept buying, like flexing money and all this. He goes thinking, God, this is mad. Who's going to win this? And then Puff Daddy just got $10,000 and without looking back, just threw it over his head onto the dance floor and carried on his conversation. And Craig Davis was trying to carry on talking to him as if nothing had happened. He was sort of looking over as people were just fighting on the dance floor. Puff Daddy didn't even turn around, and that is what we want from our football club.
That's the image you're going to live
that
by.
Is, yeah.
What's good about that is that you have somehow managed to keep up almost your player recruitment policy by insisting on referring to him as Puff Daddy.
Yes.
Not as P. Diddy.
Do you know what?
So he's still keeping up the retro, past it, older.
If you don't get to just change your name for in the music industry at a whim, I will call you whatever you were when
originally.
I first learned about you. That's what we're sticking with.
Fine.
Yeah.
With the exception of, obviously, trans people who are absolutely not dead.
you're a lovely man.
Thank you.
Obviously, the supercomputer, as you know, from being a huge fan of the podcast, throws up some random scenarios.
Yep.
It has thrown up this one. After months of calling you out on TalkSport for being a charlatan, a crook, and about as useful as a vegan farmer, Simon Jordan challenges you to a charity boxing match, knowing it would be the first time a football club owner has done anything this public-facing and that Jordan is likely to play dirty. Do you accept? And if not, how do you wriggle out of it?
Jordan, I know what Jordan's up to here. I'm the first guy to put on a trophy at the new Wembley Stadium when I was at Soccer AM, when they were doing ramp-up events for it. You can't just open a stadium and have things. So we had a day, the first time it was open to the public, 20,000 people. We had a Soccer AM team and we won the tournament. I was in goal. So in that game, Simon Jordan was going through one-on-one and I saved it.
Really?
So I am not going to get caught up in Jordan's nonsense. I will just post the video, which I've got on DVD, not even VHS. I will post the video of me saving that to him and go, this is already settled, Simon.
Lovely stuff. I've already won this.
Yeah. An answer.
It's done.
I think
case
we've
closed.
Already settled.
Case closed.
Closed.
Yeah.
That's lovely stuff.
The progress bar on the computer is just filled up.
Yeah, filled up with panda's blood, isn't it?
Legitimate.
Do you run your computers on that too? Because that is a priority policy. we were getting, I mean, it is mad how much panda blood we get through, actually.
Shall I process it?
I think press enter and then we can see what the supercomputer thinks.
1 second. Wow.
Is that the panda bud?
That's the supercomputer. Yeah. Someone's obviously not listened to the end of the podcast, have they?
No, I have. I'm seeing a joke.
It's just the computer noise that it makes.
What does it say, Lloyd?
I did kind of think that maybe you just recorded it once and played it. Didn't really do it each time.
You're a fit and proper person, Robbie.
I think you might have misread it.
That is the first answer that we must accept.
I think you might have misread it. But knowing... knowing Robbie's policy for only accepting your first name,
you always ask me.
I think he's going to say that he is a bit of a proper person.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Why, if he's not, we've got cash to bribe.
Well, what does it say?
Why does it say that it's?
What do you read? What it says, Reese? Yeah.
Well, I think the net zero thing really helped you out. I think the forest
was a big
really
character.
Helped you out. It doesn't love the panda blood thing, but obviously being run on panda blood itself, it's not against it that much.
It would be hypocritical of a panda blood based Intel processor to
exactly.
Gangrenes.
And also, once it found out the pandas don't have to die, they're just volunteering. Yeah.
Again, sorry for that misunderstanding.
Exactly.
I was last intention to mislead.
It thinks it's a bit of an eye opener as well, being like, look, if any of you need to use blood of an animal, don't kill it. Just transfusions from going forward.
Exactly. So, wait for a graze. I'm very surprised by the verdict here from the supercomputer. Okay. I must say, personally, I would have said not fit and proper. The Hummer stuff, the human trafficking, no matter how good you do it, I think if you're using that phrase, it's not. The supercomputer obviously disagrees.
Sorry, no, I've just, it actually says you're not fit and proper. Yes.
How about with this envelope? Are we fit and proper?
It's changed again.
It's changed again.
It's changed his mind again.
Did have a feeling it might.
Yeah. I think there's something wrong with the computer today. I'm not sure.
Chuck a bit more panda blood in.
But yeah, so you're fitting proper again.
Yeah. Cool. It's just if you haven't done the net zero thing, you've got absolutely no chance. Yeah. And if you haven't slid that envelope,
there are a lot of trees.
Well, that's great.
An inconvenient amount of trees.
Yeah, we cut them down for the Amazon to get them over here, so it's pretty good.
Is that how
it works?
We should have waited till we had all the data. I think we should have waited for all the info, Lloyd.
The progress bar.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you.
No one thought it could be done.
Thank you for having me on here. I've had a really lovely time and honoured to be a part of it.
I think it's admirable mainly that you're trying to take, a sort of team that not many people have heard of and build it up. And just taking the risk is what makes you fit and proper. Taking the risk, making the investment, as so many owners and chairmen don't bother to do, to go, we got marble goalposts, diamonds, a massive 250,000 capacity stadium.
Yeah.
And after this podcast, another 12 people would have heard of Sittingbourne FC.
Wow.
You said he might have some odd things to say.
I can't believe what that supercomputer threw up as a result.
Yeah, right. With the supercomputer, every now and then, do you want to read the supercomputer and come up with...
Sure, I'm happy to. I left it for you because I thought this is a no-brainer. You'll be able to read this. I didn't know that you weren't able to read things a real supercomputer says.
But you were saying things, I think you've turned it around, so I just assumed that the supercomputer would say...
I'm trying to build suspense for the listener. I'm trying to... Tension is vital to any kind of storytelling, Lloyd.
I've never seen producer Harry laugh so much during a podcast record. Lost his tiny mind through that.
Yeah, I wouldn't say his mind is tiny, but he certainly lost his average-sized mind.
He lost his very normal-sized mind for a man of his age. He was laughing a lot. He still is laughing now, which is good.
We don't
need Robbie to make him laugh. It's only taken 2 months, but here we go.
That was very good stuff. Absolute nonsense, of course. Nice to be a team that no one's going to pick. No one else is going to pick.
When we spoke to him the other week, he was like, look, I'm going to do Sittingbourne, if that's okay. It's where I'm from. You're kind of going, it's nice. I think this podcast is, sure, it's under comedy, but should we put it under education as well?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so you're learning about the brickies of Sittingbourne.
Also geography.
Yeah.
Didn't know where Sittingbourne was.
Well, it's near Sheppey, the Isle of Sheppey, southeast on the Kent North Coast, I guess. But it's great. And that's what the beauty of this podcast is. Just a mad old fuck coming on with some mad old fuck ideas.
Exactly. And that's why it deserves your 5-star review.
If you would like to give us a 5-star review, we're not saying only give us a 5-star review, but we are also saying only give us a 5-star review.
Yeah, treat it like Uber.
Treat it like Uber.
It's 5 stars as a blanket. And then if the ride was bad, you just don't review it.
Exactly.
No, you never give it 4 stars. That could end a career. What you do is you just go, all right, just forget it. It's gone. It's lost in the sands of time. If you've listened to this and hated it, forget it. Move on. Why are you still listening to this bit, you maniac?
Do you like our ride? Good.
Yeah.
Do you not like our ride?
How was the journey? Was there chewing gum and a bottle of water?
So give it a little review.
I drank from a bottle of water in an Uber recently. That was in the side bit that I assumed was provided by the Uber driver. God. And after I took a sip, I put it back in and realised, actually, that's not entirely full, is it? And the seal had been broken.
Oh.
And then I genuinely, for ages, got really paranoid that I had been poisoned. Not even that I just drank some old water. And I was like, I need to make myself sick. The Uber driver's poisoned me. It's the first time I've ever, as a man, this is male privilege, first time I've actually shared my location in an Uber with someone else. It's because I was like, oh, I've been drugged and I'm being kidnapped. I'm being kidnapped.
Did you think you were going to be a future ITV documentary?
I genuinely thought, oh, I just drank that water. I've been kidnapped. And like, obviously, you know, women have to share their location all the time with all sorts of journeys. I never do it. And on this occasion, I was like, well, I shared it with my girlfriend. And she was like, why are you sharing this? You never do that. And I was like, potentially poisoned. Just watch where I end up. I've got to go to the Bill Murray in London to do a preview. If I don't go there, been poisoned, kidnapped. But I was doing it really shorthand like that. And she would just be like, what are you fucking talking about? Anyway, I wasn't poisoned and now I'm here.
And was it a good preview?
Well, you know, the paranoia of...
wasn't a good preview.
The paranoia of whether or not you're going to drop dead mid-joke, or at least pass out, it sets in when you're trying to freestyle some sweet riffs.
You should be freestyling sweet riffs this close to the tour, okay?
No, this was a while ago.
But listen, we need to wrap this up.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
He's still alive. I'm still alive. Take your vitamins.